You're listening to Radioactive on CBC Radio 1 in Edmonton. I'm Rod Kurtz, sitting in for Portia Clark. Edmonton Cree writer Larry Loye is a residential school survivor, and for many years, he's been sharing his stories. He's published many children's books about his experiences, and now he and his partner, Constance Brissenden, are working on a larger project, a history of residential schools aimed at students. They've collected stories from survivors across the country. And Larry and Constance join me now here in Studio 2. Welcome to Radioactive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here. Larry, I want to start with you. Just tell me about some of what you went through in residential schools. What was it like for you?
When we first heard we were going to go to a residential school, we didn't know what residential school meant. We were all excited because we were going away from walking a mile and a half every morning to school and back home after school. So we thought we were going to, this is piece of cake, school right there, walk.
Yep.
It wasn't that beautiful. Going to residential school was the worst experience that I could ever have because a lot of the smaller children were crying, and I couldn't understand why are they crying, because I was in grade 4 already in public school. So in the truck, the big 3-ton grain truck that we were transported from Slave Lake to residential school was not the best vehicle for transporting children. They were all crying, so seeing all the children crying, and I couldn't understand why are they crying, not realizing that they were in residential school before and they were leaving family.
And over time, obviously, you realized it wasn't going to be the exciting thing that you thought it was.
No, it was the thing I missed most was the schooling that I didn't get in residential school, because we piled wood for 4 to 6 weeks, big blocks of wood for the furnaces in Gruard residential school. So all that wood was about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks during school days we piled wood. So that's one thing. And then the next big thing was picking potatoes in the fall. That was another 3 weeks. That was during school days too, so we had to pick potatoes and
it's really more like a work camp.
It was that, because we had jobs, specific jobs, to keep the residential school going without having to hire outside help to run the residential school. So yeah, I worked in the barn for a while, which was good for me because I was away from the school, and worked in the barn where nobody could holler and scream, don't do this, don't do that. Being called a sauvage, that was freedom for me because I was away from the voice of this nun who was not a very gentle nun.
So. Mm-hmm. And there was obviously none of your culture, none of the...
No, that was, we were not, the first thing going into residential school was, you will not speak your heathen language. Both my younger brothers lost their language because of this, but I swore up and down that my grandfather said, never forget your language. And I remember that. And we as children spoke Cree every chance we got without the little kids hearing us, because mm-hmm. they would tell on us and we'd get punished.
So you have written about your experiences over the years. How did you heal? Or are you still healing from what happened?
It never goes away. Periodically, the horrific feeling will come back and you don't know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And you just have to get over it. But
is the writing part of the healing process
for
you?
Yes, that helped me a lot, putting on paper. And I was limited to what I could put in there because it's a children's book.
Right.
So it's a gentle way of introducing residential school without going to the horrific times that were spent there, because that was a lot of work.
The new book is going to be called Residential School, The Children's History. And Constance, you have the book in front of you, and you wanted to read you had an excerpt?
Well, actually, I'm going to read from Larry's book, Goodbye Buffalo Bay.
Okay, the other one, I'm
sorry. Yeah, that's the sequel to his first book, As Long as the Rivers Flow.
Right.
And people asked us, well, what happened to Lawrence after his traditional summer and the truck came to take them away? So he wrote Goodbye Buffalo Bay. So I'm going to read a little bit about now he's 14 and he's a working man. He's in McBride, British Columbia, and he's finding himself after residential school. When I first went to the mission school, I did everything I was told to do, Lawrence remembered. As time went on, I didn't want to be good. I tried to break every rule. Muslim always said that being good is not an easy job. I have to learn to be good again. That's the only way I'm ever going to feel better. For the first time, he saw a glimmer of an answer. He put on his skates and tied them up. He skated slowly at first to warm up. The ice glistened in the afternoon sun. Soon he was far out on the back eddies. His arms and legs worked smoothly together. He started to feel the rhythm of the skating. He was free to skate when he wanted. He could make his own choices now. He remembered the tea dance with Musum, his grandfather, the drum beats and the singing. He thought of this often and how good it made him feel.
Hmm. How did you learn about residential schools, Constance?
Well, I remember when I was in high school in Ontario, hearing about residential schools and thinking, that is so unfair. I was really horrified. And then in about 21 years ago, I met Larry when I was teaching a creative writing class in the downtown East Side. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, he was the creative writer and I was kind of just the teacher. So I turned into be learning from Larry. And then we started working in the residential school area. He did a play, which was staged across Canada. And then he said, you know, not enough people can come to a play, so I'm going to write children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how As Long as the Rivers Flow came out, which won the Norma Fleck Award for Canadian Children's Nonfiction, the First Nation Communities Read, and so on and so on. And his other books, he's got five other books now. They've all won awards, commendations. I'm very grateful to Larry because it gives me something to believe in and to see, to meet the wonderful Aboriginal people that we've met, thousands of people over the years of doing the residential school research. Just want to thank them for being, being so giving.
Yeah. What spawned this idea now for the new book, the history book?
There isn't one. There isn't a history for young readers. And I'm talking about, we're probably about grade five up to college level, because it's a very nice, clearly written, has 150 photographs. It's got over 40 survivors' memories. They're short, but they reinforce the text. It's full color. It's beautiful. It's going to look fantastic.
Right.
And just because the schools don't have it, like there's many memoirs like Larry's, and
but it's never been taught.
That's right.
What kind of healing can come from events like the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings?
You have to want to get better, be moved beyond the hurts, and start building your life in a good, better way instead of always hurting. Hurt and get angry, and you don't get any worse when you get angry. You're just alienating people away from you. So that's why I went back to the classroom.
So, Constance, when will the new book be coming out?
The book is going to be out by September 1st. It's going to be printed in August, and Larry and I are going to make the long trek to Winnipeg to watch it coming off the press. So that's going to be a really incredible moment. It's been 2 years, it'll be 2.5 years since we started the writing, 21 years since we started the research, and 70 years since Larry went to residential school.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to, really, if you can say it, enjoy this book, because it's so comprehensive and it's so interesting. Mm.
Yeah, well, I think the key word that I get from hearing your story is survivor, definitely yeah. survivor and thriver. And you've gone on to do great things, and we appreciate you being here today, yeah. Larry. Thank you. That is Larry Loye, Cree Residential School survivor and author. He and his partner, Constance Brissenden, are writing a children's history of residential schools. And as Constance told us, it'll be published this fall.